Chai Tea Vibes, Lo-Fi, Volume 4. Now available on Spotify and Apple Music.
What's good, everybody? This is Marcus from Black Mary Debt Free, and you are checking out our Quick Cast. Let's get it.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus from Black Married and Debt Free, and I would like to welcome you to another episode of the Quick Cast, powered by Black Married Debt Free. Man, I hope you're having an amazing week. I hope your week has been blessed. I am one half of Black Married Debt Free. This is the midweek dose of our podcast platform. This is when I just get to come on and talk about different topics in the economy and pop culture, music, family, whatever I'm feeling at the time for however long I'd like to. And I'm excited to be here. Can I get some hand claps? Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you're new to the podcast, you can do me and do us a huge favor and leave us a 5-star review anywhere you're listening to this podcast. This really, really helps us. And because I'm feeling so generous, because me and Shire are feeling so generous, if you do that, we will give you a link to our masterclass, Get Out of Debt and Start Building Wealth. Now, this masterclass is almost 2 hours of on-demand footage of us doing a deep dive on exactly what we did to pay off over six figures in debt in 2017. And how we're currently building wealth. So you're going to want to get this. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is leave us a review. Let us know you enjoy the podcast, 5 stars, and then email us at blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. And we're going to respond with the link. That's all you have to do. So I want to say thank you in advance. Now we're going to have a transparent moment, y'all. We got to talk about this. I'm going to talk about a couple of things, but first, let's talk about taxes. If you've been following me and Shire for any length of time, you know that, hey, we're trying to build wealth here, right? That's the goal. And the only way to do that is to increase your earning, be it on your W-2 job. We've highlighted, you know, our side hustles. One of our most highest viewed YouTube videos is talking about the 8 side hustles I believe we had at that time. And so, you know, side hustles is a big deal. Now, when we're talking about your 9-to-5, you're talking about W-2 income, right? Your employer takes out taxes, state, federal, all that good stuff. But a large part of our income is non-W-2, right? It's a lot of side hustle income, a lot of real estate income, a lot of 1099 income, right? So that income does not have the taxes taken out. And so you're responsible for paying taxes on that at the end of the year. So me and Shire know this, and we do this every year. And every year is beginning to look worse than the previous when it comes to taxes. Like, the more you make, the more they take. And by they, I mean the IRS. The biggest gangsters in the world. And so we were lamenting having to do our taxes, but we did them. And boy, oh boy, what they don't tell you when they tell you to start your home-based business, or when they tell you to do this and do that and be your own boss. One thing they never talk about when folks are sharing their numbers of how they made XYZ, selling this product or doing this thing independently, they never tell you what Uncle Sam took them for at the end of the year. Well, let me tell you, y'all, taxes are real. The more you earn, you're going to have to pay more. And that's something you have to really settle into and understand. Even when we're talking about going into or full retirement and having your $1 million, $2 million in your retirement and you need to start drawing down, you're going to be taxed on that. Especially if you you know, using just a regular brokerage account, or if you're using a 401k. Those things have not been taxed yet. So you will get hit side your head. And that's something we have to understand and be okay with, because I ain't gonna lie, y'all. When you get that tax bill at the end of the year, you're like, should I even be doing this stuff? Is wealth building even the thing for me? Because, I mean, let's just keep it 1,000. When you enter certain brackets, you're being taxed 35-40%. Then you got your state tax. California is one of the highest states as far as tax is concerned. And, you know, those things start to add up. Now, I know what they'll tell you. I know. I know you've looked at all the YouTube videos. I know you've heard all of the different folks talk about the tax breaks and how you can pay your dog and pay your kid and pay your grandma and make your cousin an employee and save all this money. But you have to understand that the IRS comes for folks that get too slick with some of these write-offs. So you have to be careful with that stuff. You know, shout out to JT, the Pocket Watcher. We've had him on the podcast before, a friend of the pod, someone I listen to. And he's a tax professional, certified accountant. And, you know, if you listen to him long enough, you're going to hear some stories of folks fudging numbers here and trying to get write-offs there. And, you know, when you get that audit, or when you get called to stand before the, as I said before, the biggest gangsters in the world, the IRS, you know, they'll start slicing through a lot of that stuff. So you want to be careful using some of these tactics you hear from influencers, all willy nilly. You know what I mean? Like, you want to be careful with that stuff, because the last thing you want on your jacket is an audit and to have to owe the IRS. So it's best to just pay what you owe. Don't try to fudge no numbers. Get it over with. But my main reason for bringing this up is because if we're going to be on this wealth building journey, we have to understand that, like, the tax is going to be a part of it. The government is going to want to get theirs. There's no way you're going to be able to make a course today or sell some type of service or product today, quit your job, become your own boss, all that great stuff that we want to do, right? And then come into the year, think that you're going to be able to keep all of that money you made. Like, that's not how it works. You owe 30-40% of that to the government. You might as well say half. Just to get your mind fixed, just say half. And so, you know, to be transparent, me and Shire have set some different things in place going into the next tax season, so that we don't have to, because kind of how we used to run it was we would just use the last month to the first quarter of, like, earnings. We would build our reserve to pay tax, right? And we did that again this year, but it's just like to see all that money go, right? It's just like, dang. So this year we're kind of planning it out throughout the year so that it's less of a hit on the front end of next year. You know what I mean? And so that's just something I felt would be, you know, interesting to share. Let us know if you guys are, we want to know your tax stories, man. I mean, tax season is coming up. How y'all feeling right now? The days, and I'm going to say this too, if you're building wealth the right way and you're seeing your income grow, you're seeing your assets grow, which they should be doing if you've been following us for any length of time, we should be growing together, right? Some years are better than others, but overall, your assets are growing, your income, your earning potential grows as we age together. The getting $2,000, $3,000 in taxes back, that's dead. That will die quickly as you start to build wealth. So if you're still getting tax money back, yeah, we want to, that's, you know, we want to someday get out of that, right? Waiting for the tax man and all that, because we need to assess what's going on with our income when we're able to still get taxes back. Now, maybe you just do W-2, maybe you just have children, maybe you contribute a lot of money to the taxes throughout the year. So yeah, you know, but you want to find a balance. The goal is to keep enough of your money throughout the year. If you're just, this is for folks just doing W-2 income, keep enough of your money throughout the year to where when you get to tax season, you break even. You're not getting any money and you're not paying any money, right? That's kind of the goal there. Now for individuals that have 1099 income or, have business, home businesses and things like that, you're going to have to pay. That's just kind of how that's going to work. But the days of getting checks back, we should be kind of growing out of that as we start to build wealth. So just wanted to share that with you guys, man. Let us know your tax stories, your tax horror stories. Let's just share together. One thing I'm learning is that we're all going through some of this stuff together. This is not just us. This is not just you that's being feeling the effects of this hyperinflation and recession. It's us too. We're all in this together. So speaking of the recession, I want to touch on this really quick. I believe we've been in a recession for a while. I think we have not felt the worst of it, but economists say that the recession is definitely looming, the worst of the recession. Inflation is increasing, and the Federal Reserve chairman, which I've spoken about on many occasions, is using the tightening of borrowing money, making money more expensive to borrow by increasing the interest rate. That's his number one weapon against inflation. And I'm checking out this news article on Yahoo Finance, and it's talking, an economist is talking about how that tightening is going to really spiral us into recession, which is what I've been saying needed to happen. We need to kind of experience the full break of this bone so that it can heal properly. Right now we have a fracture, and a fracture is like a nagging thing when we just need to go for a full break, because a lot of times a full break, the healing process on that is quicker than a nagging fracture of a ligament or bone. So this economist says the issue is the tighter you keep borrowing conditions, which is what the Federal Reserve is trying to do. They're trying to raise the interest rates slowly, slowly, slowly. But this gentleman says the tighter you keep borrowing conditions for the private sector, the higher you keep mortgage rates, the higher you keep corporate borrowing rates, the higher the chances you're going to freeze these credit markets and basically sleepwalk into an accident or sleepwalk into a recession. In general, accelerated recession later on, says this gentleman. He says, but long before the Fed delivers relief, because we know that the Fed will increase the rates and then they will pull back. But before we experience a pullback, the stocks will suffer from an earnings recession, this gentleman says. Patelko believes the U.S. is already in an earnings recession, with stocks reflecting complacency. Nevertheless, he doesn't expect a disaster. He sees about 10% maximum downside risk into the S&P 500 in the very near future. So this gentleman is saying that the inevitable will happen eventually, that we will enter into a full-scale recession. The chairman, Mr. Jerome Powell, has stated that they're going to really push the interest rate up on this next round, which I think is in the sometime later this month. So let's look at where interest rate, how does that affect us? Well, we're mom and pop real estate investors, or we're folks that are looking to get into our primary residence, let's look at where rates are. Mortgage rates are today. Now, before I look these up, I told y'all, I think the mortgage rates, and I know we forget what I say, I'm just some guy with a microphone, but I think the mortgage rates at some point will reach double digits before they come down. So let's see where they are today. So right now, a 30-year fixed is at 7.51. So that's pretty high. That's extremely high. Just for context, we bought three homes in 2021, three investment properties, which investment interest rates are usually a few points higher than just primary resident interest rate, right? We bought three investment properties in 2021, and one was interest rate was in the twos, and the other two homes were in the low threes. So that just shows you where we've gone. Now, I will say this, home prices have dropped. I can't say that I'm not seeing that. Because folks, less people were in the market to buy homes because the interest rates would affect their monthly payment. And folks were just like, no, we can't afford this. So something has to give. And what's been giving is the prices of homes have been decreasing overall in the United States. So that's positive, and that's kind of a good thing. That's one of the good things about this. But for me and Shira, like, we thrived as investors in a market where the interest rates were low. That's where we thrived, because I can look much longer until I find that needle in a haystack when it comes to prices. Like, if the market is lit on the home price front, I'll just keep looking. No one's making me buy anything. If it's too high, yo, I'm gonna just keep looking. But at least I know my rates are low, right? And for mom and pop investors, the interest rate is so important because it affects your monthly cash flow. And that's why we do this. We do this for cash flow, right? And so, you know, with the interest rates being so high, it really affected how folks like us invest, you know, buy and hold, mom and pop investors that, you know, get units anywhere from, which first of all, mom and pop investors make up a large portion. Most of the real estate investing in the United States are owned by mom and pop investors, folks with, like, I forgot what the number is. It's like 10 homes and down or something like that. But anyway, the interest rates really affect that. And so what the Fed is doing is directly affecting those type of investors. But at some point, they'll be pulling back and they'll be cutting those. And that might be, like I say, I've always said, that's kind of going to be your sweet spot, is the time when the Fed drops the rates and the overall housing market hasn't increased yet, because you got to know, once those rates start coming down, the prices are going to go back up. But you can find, like, a nice little happy medium there. And so, long story short, y'all, let's go back to my saying. I was talking to my daughter the other day, just talking about money, and I said, you know, there's one thing that I want you to take with you as an adult. Remember, man, my dad told me this. If I could really summarize a healthy, someone with healthy financial habits, it would be simple. Invest more than you save. Save more than you spend. And you'll usually come out okay with that simple principle. Invest more than you save, and save more than you spend. So with that, you're limiting your expenses. You're paying down your debt. You're not spending frivolously. You're saving an emergency savings. You're saving a short-term, long-term savings, right? And then your investment portfolio is growing because in order to retire, you're going to need in the upwards of $2.5 million, depending on your lifestyle. You're going to need that. The only way you're going to grow that, you're never going to be able to save $2 million. But you can invest your way to $2 million. So you're going to need to invest more than you save. And you're going to need to save more than you spend. So I'll leave y'all with that. Like I said on the front end of this podcast, man, if you enjoy the Black Married Debt Free podcast, do us a huge favor and leave us a 5-star review. We truly appreciate it. And we out. Peace.